God. Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Blankenship and Ms. Rachel. Thank you very, very much. When I spend a few days at a church especially, folks through the week will be kind to me and Nancy and give us little gifts and so on. And we're very appreciative and we're thankful for it. So tonight, Mrs. Blankenship handed me a little card thing, and she said, "You know who this is? It's a photograph." And I said, "I'm trying to figure out what building he's in." And she said that it's in Bible Baptist Church in Cassville. And it's a picture of my dad from 1967 or 8 or maybe 9, but Dad's preaching there. Dad died about 3.5 years ago, and anyway, he's in the picture, looks about my size and so on, and he's doing this. And it's one of the best gifts I've ever received. Amen. And I'm very grateful for it. I said, "Well, tell me how do you have this picture? How do you know who my dad is?" And her dad's brother, Gussie Carlson, that's in heaven now. And anyway, there's my dad went to Baptist Bible College and he pastored in Carthage, and I was born in Carthage. I don't know if you know, they have a place there called Precious Moments. Dad was pastoring there, and so he met Brother Carlson through the Missouri Fellowship and Preachers, and they just became really good buddies. And then Brother Ainsworth and Dad were friends, and as a boy, my dad loves preachers, and he pastored, and then we had preachers come through, and then he spoke of preachers, their names. I probably couldn't have walked up to them and said their name, but when they told me their name, I'd want to hug them and say, "Oh, yeah, my dad loves you," and so on. And anyway, that was very precious to me that Miss Blankenship would give me that picture. It's a blessing. Well, I've enjoyed the day here with you. It's a blessing. I'm grateful for how God's blessing in Berean Baptist Church, and I mentioned this morning, I love to preach here because you want someone to preach to you, and that's why you came back, and that's why you're here tonight. And for you that are not so interested in preaching, I'm going to do it anyway. I appreciate those who occasionally pray for us. I ask you to do that, and we're very grateful for how God's blessed us, and we stay busy, and we're not at home for weeks at a time where I'm wondering what we're going to do financially. We stay busy, and I'm grateful for that. But so thank you for praying for us every once in a while. And Nancy and I are leaving tonight right after service. We need to get to Oklahoma City. I was in a car accident about a month ago and made an appointment for 8:30 in the morning, so I need to be there and get my car worked on. And we get to leave right after service. So anyway, we're not going to hang around a long time, but we'll be around a little bit. But thank you for praying for us. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for being faithful to Berean Baptist Church and your pastor, and most of all, to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. All right. We're going to start tonight in Psalm 19. Oh, I was going to ask you to do this. You got a thingy, Bob, a marker? If you would put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, my intent is to end there. If I don't, it's okay, but that's my intent, okay, to end there. So if you're able, if you'll stand with me, Psalm 19. I'm going to read few verses here because I'm going to reference them in a little while. So verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now let's go to the New Testament, please. If you'll go to the last book of your Bible, the Revelation, the very end of your Bible, Revelation 1. And if you get there in front of Revelation, just a couple pages, is 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Well, the music was beautiful again tonight. Thank you, orchestra. Thank you for the practice. Not every church has a choir, but there are churches that do. Many of us that are not in choir, we forget that you come an hour and a half or 2 hours early, and you practice and you practice and you practice, and you're going, they're never going to get it. Just forget them and let's get it on, you know. But anyway, I just appreciate people that are servants like that. Amen. I really appreciate it. It's a blessing. 1 John 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Chapter 5, please, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, please, Romans, please. Romans chapter 5. One verse, it's verse 8. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please leave your Bible open at Romans, please. Let's pray. Dear God, I come to you again. I want to say thanks again. Thank you. Thank you for another Lord's Day. Thank you for health and well-being to be able to attend church again on the Lord's Day. Thank you. Thank you for Berean Baptist Church. Please, please protect her. Please protect Pastor Abels. There are so many things that would like to undo some of the things here at Berean. I just pray that you would continue to get the glory and the honor. Lord, you would be magnified. Lord, that Pastor Abels and this congregation would have a heart to stay true to you and your word and committed to it. God, that have a commitment to reach these people, this city, with the truth. God, thank you. Thank you for their kindness to me and Nancy. Lord, I ask you to bless this service tonight. Help me get out of the way, and that you could just use me as a piece of pipe tonight, and you might speak to all of us. I pray you'd help me get this across. That's in Christ's holy and precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. when speaking of the Word and speaking of the person, God, to try to describe Him, to try to define Him, is it's really, really hard on us. God is limitless. We have vocabulary that we use to describe Him and define Him. He has the vocabulary, and actually what we, most of real Bible students do, is take His description out of the book and we say, well, these are His attributes. And trying to define Him is like, it's impossible. And yet all we can do is use vocabulary that we have and that He's given us to try and begin to define Him. Our God, listen to these attributes. I just wrote down some of them. He's eternal, faithful, He foreknows, He's good, He's holy, He's immutable, He's impartial, He's incomprehensible, He's infinite, He's jealous, He's just, He's long-suffering, He's mercy, He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's righteous, He's self-existent, He's self-sufficient, He's sovereign, He's transcendent, He's truth, He's wise, He's a God of wrath. These are some of His attributes. We get to see some of His attributes when we see a blazing sunset, when we smell the scent of honeysuckle or the waft of a rose. We hear the ripples of a brook or stream or the giggle of a baby's laugh. These are God's attributes being shown us. When He tells us His attributes, there's something about them that you and I need to get inside our head. Well, let me do this before I tell you when He tells about them. When we talk about God's attributes, you could put in front of every one of the attributes, you can put a holy dash eternal, holy dash faithful. Every one of His attributes are holy. Amen. They're perfect. They're pure. They're altogether righteous. Amen? Amen. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but that is some kind of message right there, the holiness of God. Amen. But when God defines, or when He makes statement concerning His attributes, He does not say, I'm holy and here's proof. I'm faithful and here's proof. I'm all powerful. No, friend, when He tells us His attributes, He just says, that's it. Whether you want to accept it or not, that doesn't matter to God. He makes the statement, and that's who He is. Is everybody getting this? So when He speaks of who He is, it just makes the statement, and it's supposed to be accepted. Okay, God, yes, You're faithful. Yes, God, You're sovereign. Yes, God, You're transcendent. Is everybody hearing what I'm saying? There's no need for demonstration or proof. God just says, I am, and that I am. Amen. Amen. But there is one attribute that I did not read in the list. That He tells mankind. I'm going to prove this one to you. God is a God of holy love. He doesn't have to prove it. He could just say it. I am love. That's it. But in God's kindness and in God's grace and God's mercy, he says, hey, humans, I want to prove this one to you. We just read the verse, Romans 5 and verse number 8. He proves to us this one attribute. He evidently, I've got it written down like this, he deems it necessary to prove it to us. He proves his love. So, God's love is not proven in his creation. People say, oh no, Brother Dave. I've been to Colorado and I've seen the Rocky Mountains and those powerful rocks jutting up into the sky with their snow-covered caps, and I've seen their majesty, and I go, whoa, he's a God of love. Seeing the waves of the Pacific crash against the coast of Oregon doesn't mean he's a God of love, or Massachusetts with Atlantic. Is everybody hearing me? Excuse me. The heavens do not declare the love of God. They show his glory. The firmament does not show the love of God. It shows his handiwork. Day unto day does not show the love of God. It shows his speech. Night unto night does not show the love of God. It shows his knowledge. It says their line is gone through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Romans chapter 1. Back up a couple of pages. Let me read this to you. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Excuse me just a minute, since you brought it up. Look up here. God says that he's faithful. He says the statement, you believe it. If he says that he's the God of love, it should just be that we believe it. Amen. If he says that he's the God of wrath, we go, oh. Right there it said he is. All ungodliness, all unrighteousness. But that's not my point. Keep reading through here. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Watch verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I don't know if anybody was listening a while ago or not, but the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. Look what it says. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here it's saying that when you look at the creation, you see God's eternal power and Godhead. He's God. That's what creation's supposed to show us. But when God moved on the heart of the Apostle Paul to pen the words of Romans 5 and verse number 8, God decided to show his love, prove his love. I don't know if you can remember 8 hours ago or not, or 7 hours ago. A.W. Tozer said, perhaps the greatest mistake we humans make is trying to measure the love of God, our insistence on measuring the love of God with our own human understanding. God says, I'm going to prove. Look at your Bible. Verse 8. But God commendeth. That word commendeth doesn't mean that he's saying, hey, let me recommend this to you. That's not what commendeth means. Means God commendeth, it means he showed. Another way to say God manifested. Here's another word, God proved. Amen. He commendeth, he proved, he showed, he manifested. He commendeth what? He commendeth his love. If there were a period right there, we should stand up and give each other a chest bump right there. Hallelujah, God said he proved his love. But there's not a period there, and I'm thankful there's not, because it says he proved his love toward us. Did you just hear that? I wonder who us is. God says, I don't have to prove to you that I'm all-powerful or all-knowing or holy. I don't have to prove to you that I'm a God of love, but I choose to. And I want to prove my love toward you. You can put your name there. McCracken. Hey, McCracken, hey. I'm going to prove my love towards you, Dave McCracken. He said, God's not interested in me. Well, call him a liar then. You can, people do. But he declares that his love is toward, it's aimed toward you. It is for you. Amen. Well, I didn't think he's interested in me. No, it's for you. Now, if you're not one of us, well, then it ain't for you. Can you imagine somebody going, well, I don't think I'm one of us. If you're human, you're one of us. Amen. Mercy. But there's all kinds of stuff out here that's in our brains. It confuses us and it gets us confused thinking, well, this, if you say God is a God of love, how come this stuff happens? If God is this God of love, you say, why when I look at this globe we live on, this globe you say he made, this globe is like a gigantic battlefield. On this planet, it's fish against fish. I don't know if you ever noticed people fishing with minnows. Or you see the minnows bouncing off the top of the water over there. You're going, let's go over there. The fish are there, the big ones. Yeah. It's fowl against fowl. When I was a boy, I lived in Kentucky, and I played baseball for this team called the Cardinals. The Cardinals are a beautiful bird. I love them. I love them. Fly around. These Blue Jays were in our neighborhood. And Blue Jays are pretty, but they're mean. They will take over someone else's nest, knock their eggs out, and they'll take that nest. They're almost like the government. It's beast against beast. If you've ever watched the Discovery Channel, you've seen those lions hiding in the tall grass, and they're watching the wildebeest go, and they pick out one. And then that lion comes flying out of that grass and starts going for that one wildebeest. He attacks it and puts its claws up around its neck and shoulders, trying to drag it down with his weight. He pulls that down and then he takes his sharp teeth and he jabs it into his neck. Blood goes everywhere and you go, that is so sad. He's killing that. But that's kind of God's order to take care of the animals. Amen. It's also, though, man against man, isn't it? In a town like Springfield, you can get that newspaper, and every day you can see something about man being hateful, mean, vile to other humans. Man against man. Hey, I thought God was a God of love. Everything around me looks like a big giant battlefield. How can you say that God is a God of love? And then people go, well, when I look at people and I look at lives, I look at my own family and I see friends and I see what happens to my neighbors, I just cannot believe, it's hard for me to swallow. You keep telling me that God is a God of love and that He proved it. I just can't see it. Because things that happen to Christians, if you and I could protect them, we would never allow it to happen to them. And we're saying, well, God, He's powerful. He can do that. Anybody hearing me? And we think in our reasoning, well, if I had the power, I would never let this happen to people that say they know me, that love me. People become confused and baffled to say, how can you guys call God a God of love? God's own children have just as many calamities, just as many disasters, just as many disease as all those other people. It's difficult to explain. To try to give a reason to a family who stands over the empty crib. And God let them have them for 3 months. And they're gone. You say, God loves you. A man and woman that have been married for 50 years, 55 years, and now he'll never sit in that chair again. And go in and hold her hand and say, honey, God loves you. When the tragedies happen, then they happen to everybody. No one's excluded. I hate them just as much as you do. The baby that walks to the backyard and falls in the pool. And the pool was supposed to be a place of laughs and joy and family time. The grandparent that backs out of the car and never saw the grandchild come outside. The gun that accidentally went off. How can you say God loves me when these tragedies? Have you ever heard it said? If God really loved me, why did He let this happen? If God is a God of love, why does He let these wicked things happen? Scriptures will never say that a lovely summer day is proof that God loves you. Because scriptures know, and the author of scriptures knows, that on any lovely summer day could be your worst nightmare. Unbelievable that it happened in your family. Preparing this and thinking about this and knowing what I was going to talk about through the sermon, it came to my head again that we just don't think it's going to happen to us, do we? We don't think that our parents going to be murdered. We don't think that our child was going to get the leukemia. We don't think our child will get SIDS. Is anybody hearing me? We don't think it's going to happen to us that our teenager got hit by a drunk driver. The Bible will never, ever turn to money and say, see there? See all this money you have? This is proof. God loves you. God knows, and the Bible knows, that on any given day, month, or week, all that could be gone. Amen. Scriptures. God will never, ever point its finger to that brand new baby and say, see there, that healthy baby? That's proof. God loves you. No, God knows. Scripture knows that this light of your eyes, the joy of your heart, could be gone this very day. It's heartbreaking. So, Brother Dave, you get me all mixed up here. You said that God commendeth. That word means proved, means showed, it means manifested. You just said that God proved He loved us, and now you're telling us all these things that make us question whether or not God loves us. No, friend, listen, the Scriptures, God's holy word, turns to an unanswerable argument. When you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, God takes us to a place called Calvary. And once you and I understand really what happened on Calvary, and we have a grasp on this, and we understand the spiritual meaning of what God did and through His Son Jesus on the cross of Calvary, this is one thing that we can never do again. We can never, never, never doubt the love of God. Because if you want to know the proof of God's love for you, you just look yonder on Calvary and see His Son hanging there for you. His love is toward you. Amen. Calvary is the proof. He loves us. Well, I don't know if God really loves me. Friend, look to Calvary. You cannot argue with this. God manifested, God commendeth His love toward Dave McCracken. How? That His Son died for me. Look what it says. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. Who is us? Sinners. If you're not a sinner, don't worry about it. He didn't die for you. But us that are sinners, God said, McCracken, I'm going to prove something to you. I'm going to prove I love you. Because while you were a sinner, My Son died for you. Hallelujah. Whatever happens to me, whatever comes my way, whatever trials or sorrows happen, whatever disappointments or tragedies or heartbreaks, there's one thing that I know that stands firm. The magnificent proof of Calvary stands as a beacon to God's eternal love. There are things that happen in my life that I cannot explain. There are things that happen to you, and all we can do is cry. We cannot explain it. But I'm telling you this, God loves you. Amen. Why He let this happen to me? I don't know, but I know He loves you. Amen. How do you know He loves me? Because while you were a sinner, His Son died for you. Amen. To forgive your sin. Amen. To wash it all away. To give you eternal life. Amen. Praise His holy name. It's testimony of God's love. God proved He commendeth His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners. I got a couple things to go over about this. One of the things that I think it would be important for us to catch anyway is that Christ died is a fact. That's a proven fact of history. Have you ever been suspicious of someone? Where are you going? Oh. I don't think I really trust them. Have you ever left someone in your house alone and you're driving away going, oh, man, what if they go through everything? And I'll just tell you, if you leave me at your house alone, I'm going through everything. I'm looking through all the drawers, the closets, I'm seeing what you got. I'm not stealing nothing. I'm just nosy. No, really, have you ever got where you were suspicious of someone? there's hardly anything that when you're suspicious, there's hardly anything they can do to get us to not be suspicious. We need some kind of strong proof where we can trust them from now on. How many have never one time been late to any kind of appointment? You've never been late. Never, ever been late to anything. Never late to school, never late to a doctor, never late to any meeting, never late to make a phone call, never late. Anybody in this room never been late? Well, I can never trust you then. You know, when someone does something and we go, man, I don't know if I can trust them now or not because I thought they were going to take care of that, but they didn't take care of it. So this guy loaned me his car in California. I was in near Palm Springs. And he said, hey, Brother Dave, use my car. We want you to use it for the week while you're here. Okay, thank you. So we're going out to eat. We're going to go out to eat with him. He said, just follow me. Nancy said, I'm following. And we're coming up to a red light. It's green. It's turned yellow. And he punched it. I thought, well, I'm supposed to punch it too. I punched it and he slammed on the brakes. I rear-ended him. I'm in his car hitting him in his other car. Now, how many of you want to loan me your car tonight? Once we are suspicious about someone, once we have some doubts about them, it is almost impossible not to doubt them. We still have trouble trusting. Amen? We need some kind of proof. Come on, I want to be able to trust you. We need some unmistakable deed that would assure us. Excuse me, I don't know if you're listening or not. But when it flashes through your brain, or when it flashes through your heart that you're not sure God is interested, you're not sure if he cares. If it ever flashes through your brain, you're going, man, I don't know if God really loves me and he's letting this happen to my baby. I don't know if God cares about me. He let this happen to my... Is anybody hearing me? Once that doubt enters into your mind, it's hard to get away from it. But what you and I need to do is tell the devil, you're a liar! You're a liar! He's already proved to me he loves me! And look yonder on Calvary and see the Savior hanging there in your place. He loves you. Amen. Praise his name. Mercy. Some of us, words don't do it for us. Promises don't do it for us. We need more than words. We need more than a promise. We need to see it. We want to see it. Down through the corridors of time, says, this thing was not done in a corner. Amen. The Lord hath made known to us his salvation, his righteousness he hath openly showed in the sight of the heathen. God wants all humanity to know he loves us, and he proved it on Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. Another thing we can catch off of Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us. I love it that it's toward me, and that while we were yet sinners, that's me, Christ died for me. Something I want you to catch off the word God commendeth. I told you it means showed openly, manifest means proved. But the word commendeth ends with these three letters. E-T-H. So many goobers say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. It's got them thees and thous and them commandeth and them commendeth and all that stuff. I don't even know what that's talking about. I'm thinking, well, maybe you should go back to the first grade and go to school again. If you're thinking, I can't understand all that, your problem is you're just not reading it. That's why you don't understand it. But regardless, E-T-H on the end of the word, it always meaneth thiseth. It meaneth, continualeth, present tenseth. I don't know if you heard it or not. It means continualeth, presenteth, tenseth. It keepeth, oneth, goineth. It nevereth, stoppeth. It's always present tenseth. Is anybody hearing me? All that means is that God's proof of His love is still just as much around today as it was the day He nailed His Son to a cross. It's still around today. His love is everlasting love. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But charity never faileth. God's love never fails. Mine and your love may pass away, but His never will.
Amen.
Amen. Knowledge might widen. Thought might deepen. Science may change. Technology might alter many things. Great mysteries might be opened to shock mankind. But always and unshakably will stand throughout eternity the love of God, as He demonstrated on Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. He did that for me. It was aimed straight toward me. Mercy. I'm telling you, that's a real good ending place. It's beautiful. But I really would like for us to turn where our marker is. I got something I'd like to show you right here. It's 2 Corinthians 5. Let me see if I can remind you of 1 John 5. The love of God is that we keep His commandments. I didn't make that up. It's like in the Holy Bible and everything. We read it. I read that at the outset. I knew I was going to make a comment about it right then. Now, 2 Corinthians 5. Wow. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. It's incredible. You get ready to move? When you moving? When are you moving? I heard y'all were moving.
Monday.
Well, God's got something for you to do in Idaho, evidently, doesn't He? But tonight, you get to do it right here. You don't mind helping me, do you? Really? How old are you?
12.
12? I'm just curious. Do 12-year-olds ever do anything bad? Don't say yes. Say some of them do. That'd be better, wouldn't it? Do you ever mess up?
Yes.
Really? Now that you're a pastor's kid, you're really going to mess up. PK. I want to show you something, okay? I need someone to help me. I really think Brother Chris Allison is the right candidate for this. What I'm going to do, Brother Chris, why don't you stand over there for me? We're going to say, Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes.
That is so good. I'm glad I picked you then. Let me ask you, since you've been a Christian, do you ever get in trouble? Do you ever do bad stuff, something bad you shouldn't do? How can you say you're a Christian then? Can you believe Christians mess up? That are 12? Okay, Hunter. Look at this. Verse number 14 says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, does everybody admit there's wickedness in the world?
Amen.
Are we tugged on? Are we tempted? Are we lured to wickedness? Well, I thought this man would be a good example of that. And he would illustrate for us wickedness. So, as the evil one, I want you to invite him to come and do something he knows is wrong. It's sinful. And I want you to invite him to do it. Something that he'd want to do. One word? You can come over a little closer, but don't come all the way. Just now say it out loud where they can hear you. What do you want him to do? Do what?
Lie to his parents.
Lie to his parents about what? Wait a minute. Have you ever been tempted to lie?
Yes.
Does your mama know you lie sometimes? Okay. So you're in trouble. Your mama's yelling at you. He's trying to get you to lie. So have you ever lied? Okay, go over there and stand by. Go over there. Go over there and stand by. Go over there and stand by. You're not going. Go over there. I'm serious. Did you hear what the Bible just said? Go over there and stand by. I'm serious. The love of Christ constraineth us. All of us are tempted to sin. Have him do something that you did this week. I mean, have him do a sin. Sorry about that. Have him do another sin, tempting some of you. Don't act like you can't come up with something.
Don't read your Bible.
Don't read your Bible. Look at me. You don't read your Bible every day, do you?
Sometimes I miss some days.
So if you miss some days, that means you don't read it every day. Is that right? Have you ever been trying to go to sleep at night and you thought, I haven't read my Bible yet? Has that ever went in your head? Did you go ahead and go to sleep anyway? No, you did too. Are you serious? Every time you got up and read your Bible or did, sometimes you go ahead and go to sleep. Sometimes you actually did. Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so he's telling you not to read your Bible, okay? I want you to go over there and stand by. Go ahead. Go stand by.
Well, Brother Dave, I thought that the love of Christ constrains us. It does.
Sometimes we turn a deaf ear to it. And we'll go ahead and give in. Excuse me, is anybody in here without sin? Why don't you stand up and we'll let you cast the first stone. Is anybody hearing me? Come back over here, Austin. Can you read?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, I'm Christ, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Is everybody with me? So I want you to invite him to do something again, okay?
Don't go to church.
Don't go to church. Well, I'd like to ask that question to all of you guys. Okay, go over there and stand by. I want you to go over there. I want you to seriously go over there. Try really hard. But the love of Christ constrains. Watch. And then when he finally yields to Christ, here's what the Bible says. It says that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you. Why is that verse so important to me tonight? My heart is to get across to you that every one of us are going to get disappointed and have trials and sorrow, great tragedy. Some will be unmerciful. But we should never, ever doubt the love of God. When you do, you're falling into the trap of the wicked one. When you and I are vulnerable is when we're going through some disappointment or trial or tragedy, and sometimes, listen carefully, we are most vulnerable when we go through a great victory. And we're being lured and tempted. You know what should keep us from giving in to Chris's house, the devil? You know what should keep us from giving in? It's the love of Christ. When you and I are given in to sin, it's like we're doubting his love. I'm just saying that maybe tonight there ought to be this attitude and awareness and heart that we're going to say, you know, Christ, I'm sorry that I've doubted you. I want to get on my knees and tell you I'm sorry. I never want to doubt you again because I know this. I know you proved you love me. Amen. We have proof. And that love is still around today. It's commendeth. Ameneth? Amen. In Christ, it's my desire to say yes to your love and no to sin, no to temptation. If you're not saved, the first thing you need to do is trust Christ. He's already proved he loves you. It's amazing how many people, he died and all that stuff, but I'm not ready, I don't want him. He's already proved he loves you. Can you turn down his love? Evidently. People do it nearly every Sunday. Can you say no to the love of Christ that constraineth us? Can you say, no, I'm not going to pay attention tonight to your love. I'm going to do what I want to do. You say, how come I have so much trouble with my sin? How come I have so much trouble with this problem, this habit? It's because you're not listening to the love of God. It will constrain you. You'll bathe your life and your heart in his love. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you. Thank you for listening.